Good morning. Good morning. Merry Christmas. It's Monday. It's going to be a short week for me and Tim, and hopefully for you, unless you're Santa Claus, in which case you got a busy night ahead of you, a couple nights ahead of you. So we're now joined in the studio by Sean Oliver, Ward 3 City Councilor. Merry Christmas, Councilor.
Merry Christmas, Chris. Thank you for the opportunity and the invitation to come in this morning. My apologies for having to change the time because I got stuck at work a little bit. But I appreciate the opportunity to come in, speak with your callers, and wish them a Merry Christmas, as well as the entire citizenry of the city of New Bedford as well. So thanks again.
Well, I'm a flexible guy, and I recognize you're a seriously busy guy. So I'm happy to do it. So want to draw attention to another great column by Jack Spillane in the New Bedford Light. You can check it out. It's entirely in newbedfordlight.org. I'm going to play a little clip here. The robot's going to read it. I think Jack does a marvelous job covering the city of New Bedford and saying hello to people out in the hallway. Oh, on the driveway, rather.
That's Paul from Ward 1.
Oh, that is Paul. Now I recognize him. Paul Medeiros. All right. So now we're going to play a little bit from Jack Spillane's column on the doings of your political body, the city council, Sean Oliver. Jack does a great job. Let's do that now. Stick around. It's the robot reading Jack Spillane's column. I recommend you go read the entire thing. We're not going to play the whole thing. We'll play a part of it, get a sense of it.
Ryan Pereira has the votes to be new city council president. By Jack Spillane. Ryan Pereira will be the new council president when the 2026 term begins just after New Year's. The Ward 6 City Council is a shoo-in unless the unexpected happens as the votes come down to the wire. Multiple sources on the council, including Pereira himself, say they believe the two-term councillor has gathered the simple majority of 6 votes on the 11-member body to take the seat on the president's dais. Pereira, 28, will be the second young council president in a row, succeeding Councillor-at-Large Shane Burgo, who was elected president last year at age 31. Burgo could theoretically succeed himself, but it would take a three-quarters majority, or 8 votes the second year instead of 6 votes. The bias is against the president staying too long and accruing too much power. It's not unknown, though. Former Councillor John Saunders in 2004 was elected to 3 successive terms as council president when he encouraged councillors not to play for the cable TV cameras. Burgo, however, has said he did not want to run for a second consecutive term. Pereira has apparently been able to gather the necessary votes in a contest in which multiple sources said that Councillor-at-Large Ian Abreu and Ward 3 Councillor Sean Oliver had also expressed interest in being the face of the city's legislative body next year. But Abreu, the top vote-getter in the at-large race the last 4 elections, was said to have dropped out early. Multiple sources on the council said that Pereira and Oliver had talked about Pereira taking the presidency this year in return for Pereira being open to supporting Oliver next year. The city council is a nonpartisan body. Pereira's political positions might best be described as moderate, while Oliver is more conservative. Neither could be described as progressive, especially on fiscal issues. Oliver said he had decided he was too busy with personal and professional responsibilities to do the job this year. He is seeking a promotion in his career as a state corrections officer. The city council president in New Bedford is the public face of the body in the media, and also the council's principal liaison with the mayor's office. But its real power is in the assignment of committee chairmanships that control the agendas of what issues the body takes up. And that may be where the real news is made when Pereira takes over on January 5th, because he says he wants to reconfigure the way the council works in order to make it function more efficiently.
So, that's Jack Spillane's column. I encourage you to go to the New Bedford Light, newbedfordlight.org, and have the robot play the entire thing for you, or read it yourself. You can do both. That's what I tend to do. I really like Jack's columns. I think he does a good job. We have Ward 3 City Councilor Sean Oliver here. You ran last time. You started late. Shane ended up with it. You came real close for a late start. You decided not to go this time.
Yeah, I mean, there's no surprise that, you know, I have interest in seeking the council presidency. But right now, last year would have been great for me. I had the time.
Would have been great for the city, yeah. Too, but go ahead.
I had the time, the availability to do it. As most people know, the city council president is normally the face of the council, goes to a lot of events. Not saying that all councilors don't. We do, but
yeah.
Council president tends to go to pretty much everything. So that, along with the responsibility of it, there's a lot of time and dedication to it. And last year I would have been able to do so. This year, both professionally and personally, I have a lot of stuff going on.
Sure.
And if I were, you know, to seek the presidency, I would only do so if I knew that I could do it to the fullest extent
yep.
possible. I don't give less than 100% in anything that I do. So it wouldn't be right for me to seek the presidency if I couldn't do it
right.
To its full capacity. So do I have ambitions for the future? Absolutely. It'd be foolish for me to say no. But this year, it's just not in the cards. I've got a lot of stuff going on. So we'll see what the future holds,
right.
Obviously. You know, I'm just glad to have a seat at the table as a city councilor for the next 2 years and continue the work that I've started almost 3 years ago now.
Look, I like Ryan Pereira. Sometimes his political choices mystify me, but I think he's a very competent guy, despite his age. He's been there for a couple of years. I think he does his homework. I think he'll be a good city council president. I mean, he could disappoint me, I guess. But I think he understands the power he has and knows how to use it. And I think he does his homework. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it's not necessarily always just a policy thing. Like, you know, you can come down on different policies. Mm-hmm. And obviously that could be a driver. But the biggest part is, do you believe that this person could do the work and is going to do the work
mm-hmm.
and lead the council in a way that's going to be productive? Do I agree with some of my colleagues all the time? No. Do I disagree with them all the time? No. And the combination is different. Could be mm-hmm. six for this issue.
Yes.
Could be six for another issue. So we're not always going to come down the same on the issues. But the biggest thing is this person who we select to represent us for the next year, are they going to have the time, the energy, and the capability to represent the council? If it is Council Pereira, I believe that he does possess that ability.
Do you think it will be Council Pereira?
I mean, it sounds like it from Jack's from Jack's article.
But my intel tells me the same thing Jack's column says.
I think you're pretty spot on. It's a little late now. We're talking another week and a half. It'd be a surprise if something changes. But like you said, you never know until we're in that room and the votes are cast.
We have Sean Oliver here, Ward 3 City Councilor. He has been your partner, Ryan Pereira, in a lot of these budget cuts.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, especially when it comes to the budget, Councilor Pereira really dives in and does his homework and mm-hmm. Asks the questions. And
yeah, that's what impresses me about
yeah,
him.
Yeah, he is the youngest counselor that's in that room, and he does a great job in asking the questions that, you know, maybe me personally I didn't think of, but mm-hmm. it'll set, oh, well, he asked that, and now it piqued my question to something else. So he does a really good job when it comes down to the budgetary stuff. He dives in. He takes the meetings with the various department heads with mm-hmm. the over the course of the budget and stuff. And you know, or at least I know, that when he's speaking about those certain issues, that he's done his homework. And I respect that. So that would be somebody that I would look to support next year as the city council president, because I know he's going to do the work.
You are known to do your homework as well. So that when you're, you know, you came into this, you've only been there now. How long?
This is my second full term, but I had that half term. So
right.
To almost 3 years.
Almost 3 years. But you do your homework as well.
Yeah. Like I said, I try and, you know, there's no handbook for this. So you have to learn right. as you're going, but it's as involved as you want to make it really. You can go in and go to the meetings and take your votes. Or you can go in and dive into the material and try to, you know, really immerse yourselves in the information to make the best possible decision. And I really enjoy it. It takes a lot of time to do it. But I really, really do like to be the involvement of knowing that at least I made the most educated decision that I could make.
Right.
And I don't take my vote lightly. And I appreciate the Citizens of Ward 3 who's elected me yet again to continue that work. So,
The department heads all came in on budget or under budget? Talk about that.
Yeah, first time in almost over a decade, which is good. You know, I think a little bit, you know, I'm going to pat the council on the back a little bit here. And I'm not, you know, putting down past
nobody else will if you don't do it for yourselves.
Yeah. Is it all the council? Absolutely not. You know, the department heads still have to run their departments. But I think through the scrutiny of this council, really diving into the details and stuff like that, it's kind of forced the administration and the various departments to know that the watchers are watching and we're going to hold folks accountable, you know, using committees like the audit committee to make sure that certain things are getting done, certain metrics are being met.
Okay.
So I think that this council that we have right now, although we're getting two new members when the calendar turns over, I think that we're poised to continue that work and to really push back on the department heads to make sure that we have more successful years like this.
We have Sean Oliver, Ward 3 City Councilor here. Jack Splane points out in the column that you and Ryan Pereira are on the conservative side fiscally. Certainly not progressives on fiscal questions. I think that's accurate. And no surprise from Jack. And how do you do that, though, Sean Oliver? In other words, people at home who have never been members of the city council say, well, that's just somebody taking credit for something. That's the mayor and then the department heads. Explain what you mean by the council deserves some credit.
Well, you know, the way that I operate, especially from a financial standpoint, is, you know, I treat it as if it was coming out of my wallet, out of my budget, because essentially it is. It's
right.
coming out of
You're
my tax dollars. It's coming out of several family members' tax dollars. And you have to take that to heart when you're taking these votes and diving in. We'd love to fund everything, right? Social programs, all these other things. The fact of the matter is we can't.
Right.
Because it would cripple folks. You know, we hear about the rising taxes almost on a daily basis. You speak to somebody in the city of New Bedford and they talk about the rising cost and the rising taxes. So you have to take that into consideration. You have to take it into heart and you have to make the tough decisions as to what should be funded, could be funded, and how much of that are we going to fund.
Right.
And I think when you continue to operate, you know, with a little bit of a tightening of the belt, those department heads know, hey, listen, I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that I come, because they don't want to be in that room fielding questions from us for hours on end
right.
about every little budgetary thing. Why was this? Why'd you spend more here? Why are you asking for more here?
Right.
So I think the work of the council in the last few years really holding their feet to the fire, so to speak, has yielded the results that were reported just recently.
508-996-05 so I can get on the air with Sean Oliver, Ward 3 City Councilor. We get some people on hold here. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris, and good morning, Councilor Oliver. How are you today?
Good morning, Barry. How are you?
Hey, Barry.
Well. Merry Christmas if I don't talk to you before then.
Merry Christmas. Happy holiday for someone that had to study the Jewish experience as part of a Stone Hill College experience. So to all my Jewish friends out there, happy holiday.
Yes, yes.
Sean, you know, you do a great job reviewing the budgets. And, you know, the council as a whole, I think Ryan's got a pretty good handle on it. And I think the rest of the city council has a decent handle on budgetary items. But I've asked Virgo, I've asked him several times, and not giving him a homework assignment. And I hope everybody out there thinks that I'm not riding him, because I know Ryan Pereira, I bet even you, Sean, you don't get to talk to me as much, but I bet you got a handle on some of these outside economic development indicators or markers that we're looking for. One would be year-over-year unemployment. One would be year-over-year sales tax. I think everybody understands why unemployment for the city is so important. You would agree, sir?
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, you want to make sure that your folks are, you know, finding work and being gainfully employed, because obviously they're going to be contributing to
I'm sorry, sir, but outside, I only have a couple minutes. Outside of economic development, Sean, you know, how, and I hear that the council, and I hope that they make it a full body council committee, but outside of economic development, and I've kicked him in the stones a couple of times, how, you know, he was responsible for designing my house. If you can imagine this, when I built this house down here, the outside of my house has 2 more feet than the inside of my house. That's ridiculous. And this person is in charge of our economic development. So you can see why economic development, it does bring both the tax base in, and it does bring both the unemployment rate down. And what we're looking for, the second part was year over year, the sales tax indicator, because if we are producing and selling more widgets, cars, you know, sales tax for things like food and services, then we are actually looking in a good position. And then, you know, some of the other indicators, these are all indicators that would bring development in. It would bring local developers like Mr. Bishan's in that Chris, when you were in rehab, that beautiful mill over there, and I get stuck on these mills sometimes. But
after my
important.
Stroke, that type of rehab wasn't the other one. Those are the fun one. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. But you understand that these developers, like Bob Ricciardi from Quincy, he developed the Wamsutta Mill. We've got great local developers like Jay Lanigan, willing to put their time, energy, and money in it. But, you know, if we can't change some of those economic development indicators and some of those barometers to change, and Chris, thank you for bringing and exposing to light the people getting sick, the fact that the overflow that we can't even handle, the you know, the sewer and what's being pumped in. So I have some other, you know, great I want to say information, but, you know, over the decade over decade, we are our admitted population in New Bedford is stuck under 100,000 people, and I think that's by design from the mayor's office. But our flow, our flushes per day are up 20% and 30%, while our population in the city of New Bedford is not growing. That makes no sense, does it?
No, absolutely not. You know, you're 100% right, especially when it comes to the sewer treatment plant. But as far as like economic, like we were talking about unemployment and things like that, to my knowledge, the city of New Bedford does have a slightly higher unemployment rate than the state and even the federal level. I think the city of New Bedford hovers somewhere around 6 to 6.5% unemployment, where the state is somewhere around 3%, and the federal government is somewhere around 4%. As far as your question about sales tax and those drivers, those are obviously those are a little tougher to negotiate. There's not one smoke and gun number. You have to take all those numbers and try to do your homework as far as what we've generated. And, you know, year over year, we've seen increases of somewhere between $5 to $6 million per year in growth. And a lot of that has to do with the increased meals tax, the hotel lodging tax, you know, and even with wage growth, you know, people are getting paid more. So therefore, payroll taxes are higher as well. And then, you know, there's, you know, the corporate aspect of it, which is a little bit more difficult to get a number. But my understanding and speaking to the folks in the Economic Development Committee, you know, there's a modest uptick on the corporate level, too. So but our unemployment rate is still significantly higher, more than double the
state. Always has been.
You know, so to me, that's still telling me that, you know, there's not enough jobs here. And we need to continue to work on initiatives and incentivize growth for businesses so that way the jobs are here and we can get those numbers down.
Thanks for the call, Barry. If you're on hold, you can stay there. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back. Stick around.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad. Feliz Navidad.
They're dancing at the Capitol Theater right now.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the program. You know, for 78 years, Carter's Clothing, a family-owned business, has been the South Coast's one-stop shop for clothing and footwear. And this Christmas, they're making gift-giving even easier. Carter's has the best prices on top-name brands like Carhartt, Timberland, Chippewa, New Balance, and more. Go in the store, check it out. Really unique presents and gifts there at Carter's Clothing. Find something for everyone with over 75 styles of boots, cozy flannels and hoodies, and jackets and vests. Perfect for the winter weather. Free parking is available at both the New Bedford and Fall River locations. Gift cards are available in any denomination. Shop small, shop local this Christmas with Carter's Clothing. Visit them online at cartersma.com. We have Sean Oliver here in studio with us, Ward 3 City Council. Sean, let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Chris and Mr. Oliver. How are you guys?
Good. Good. And you, Paul? How are you?
Good. I wish this year for Christmas is a common sense city councils this year. That's all I wish for. And Sean, I appreciate your honesty here because people don't understand. Most of the councils like yourself have full-time jobs, a family to take care of, kids that might play in sports, and still do this job effectively because it takes time to do your homework. What I find about the city councils, listen to Chris's show, the most effective ones do the most homework. And those ones, like yourself and others like Leo and, you know, and Ian, they strive to make their job the most effective for city council as possible by doing the homework. And I can't believe how other city councils that pay taxes in New Bedford, that work in New Bedford, don't have the same respect as yourself, Sean, and Leo and Ian, because it doesn't make sense to me when they want to raise things or they want to put tents in the city or they want to, you know, give free health care to illegal immigrants and stuff like that and bring up the city budget and explode it. But, like, I just want to commend you, Sean, and I want to tell you you're doing a great job. And keep up the good work, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you, too, Paul. Yeah, you know, to me, you know, it is a lot of work, but it's ironic, the more work you do, the more informed you are, the easier the job actually is.
For sure, so, right, of course.
I know it doesn't sound like it should make sense, but it does.
Yeah, I mean, well, because everything builds upon itself.
Right.
Right. So 508-996-0FUN so I can get on the air. Talking about the city of New Bedford, and maybe we'll even tackle some other stuff too.
Yeah, we just had the police chief come in front of us.
That what'd you think
that
of that?
Was big.
I mean, you were on the selection committee.
Yeah, so,
you got to know him already.
Fortunately enough, I was selected by the administration to be on that, to serve on that committee along with my colleague Brian Gomes.
Yes,
We were able to see the full range of candidates that came in front of us and interviewed and. So we got a sneak peek of Chief Thody beforehand, and I thought he interviewed well, and he had the right answers and had what we were looking for, because obviously ultimately he was submitted to the administration for consideration.
Yep.
So we knew that we were going to be okay with that. The point that the council wanted to make was just our role in the process, right? So I think we were able to do so without having to fully go through the court process and stuff like that. I think the administration realized what the council's role was because mm-hmm. they ultimately sent down the chief. But, the body of counselors that was there that night really, almost 2 hours of questioning. And Chief Thody didn't waver. He answered every question that was thrown his way, I think, adequately. It ultimately ended up in a favorable recommendation. But at least the entire body and the citizenry that was watching or will watch a later date or whatever now has a better understanding of not just the chief, But the type of concerns that were being voiced that night.
One of the big questions I heard from your colleagues, forgive me, I don't recall if you talked about this, but I know it's something is important to you, the deputy chief position.
Yeah, the deputy chief position came out, and ultimately what the understanding is that's going to be put up soon. For consideration.
An insider or an outsider?
Well, it was made known to us that it'll be an open posting, that they're going to be looking both internally and externally.
Okay.
Obviously, you heard some of the concerns about the external police chief. I think you'll hear some of the same concerns from an external deputy. But I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. You do want to make sure that you have the best person mm-hmm. For the job.
Yep.
But I do. I in previous employment, I've always been fortunate enough to be promoted from within, and I have a strong belief of a promote from within.
Yes.
Standpoint, especially for that type of role. It's somebody that will bridge the gap between the top dog, the chief, and the rest of the rank and file and things like that. And I think me personally, I do believe that the choice should be an internal choice because I do know that morale did take a little bit of a hit when we went outside for mm-hmm. the police chief. So I think an internal candidate will bolster a better yield for the rank and file to know that, it is possible. When you're an officer or a sergeant, detective, you're always thinking, can that be me? Can I be that person one day?
Right. And you're in that type of business yourself. Correct. As a corrections officer, paramilitary.
Is seeing yourself taking that step. And if you see companies, or in this case, the police department, continuing to go outside for higher rank members, it does put a little, damper in things, and you but when you see somebody that you either worked alongside with or were in some of their cases busting down doors with,
right.
going on patrol with, and seeing them go up through the ranks to that height,
right.
it gives you a little bit of a renewed sense of hey, I can do this too, and you
sure.
and you buy back in. So I think that going internal would be key. I think that the council had voiced that to the chief,
Who's making the selection, him or the mayor?
Well, it sounds like the way that the conversation was going is that the, as Chief Thody said, that the before in Hartford, his decisions were his decisions. And here in New Bedford, the way that it's set up, it's ultimately kind of the mayor's choice.
But okay.
My understanding is that will come in front of the council also for appointment, I believe. So we'll see how that goes. I think that we have some great internal candidates. You have some deputy assistant chiefs that have been here for some time. You have great captains, like, you know, Captain Nate Rodriguez comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually a constituent of mine, but that's not the reason.
Right.
You know, great guy, community guy, born and raised here. Was in public housing growing up and stuff,
okay.
You know, and he still lives in like the family home that he, you know, pretty much grew up in. So,
okay.
I think that would be a great selection, but
sure. But it's up to the mayor.
It's up to the mayor. Yeah.
Is it conceivable?
We'll say a combination of the mayor and the chief. I'm sure the chief has his thoughts, but ultimately the mayor.
Is it conceivable that the city council could reject the deputy chief candidate the mayor selects?
I mean, I would say that it's possible if given the opportunity to appoint or reject. There's always the possibility that the rejection
right.
is possible. I think that there's been a strong voice from the council of what we want and what we expect. If it's not strong enough for the public to know, I know the administration knows.
Do you think they take it to heart?
This administration doesn't do anything that it doesn't want to do. So,
correct.
We'll have to see where it goes from there.
Yeah. No, I don't think the mayor gets pushed around.
No, and not that I expect them to either.
No,
you know, the voters put them in place to make the decisions,
right?
And that's what it is. But the council does act in the same capacity. We've been put in place to make decisions,
right?
And to be that check and balance. So, when and if necessary. The 11 of us will be ready.
508-996-0. If I get some people on hold, if you'd like to join the conversation with Ward 3 City Councilor Sean Oliver. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Yes. Is it me?
Yes, sir.
Hello? Oh, hey. Okay. Yes. Thank you, Chris. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Okay, about this job stick, I just wanted to say simply that, you know how everybody doesn't want any new development in their backyard.
Yes.
Parallel products is an example, not in my backyard, which I 100% agree with. And so because there's no room, really, in the South Coast communities, our boundaries have been drawn up for 200 years. There really isn't any room in each community for the kind of new growth that's taken place, i.e. example, like Amazon in Fall River. I mean, that's a regional facility for Amazon.
Yes.
Or like the lithium battery companies that are coming up, the data centers that are coming up. These places require huge tracts of land, and we have that. If you think regionally, we only have that available for new jobs to meet the new industries that's coming up. In the industrial part, not the reservation area where Amazon is, and that whole area, that's like 15 square miles where we could easily, if we work together, create the kind of a zone, we could all benefit from one of these new kind of companies that are looking for places to go. There's one data center going up in Western Mass. There are hundreds of them going up around the country.
Yes.
We need to regionalize our thinking and make ourselves a package that will be attractive. If we were attractive to Amazon, we'd be attractive to a lithium company or a data center company or something that's really a big company. Like Parallel Products, for example, I mean, they would be drawing people from everywhere with their garbage. I mean, they think regionally.
And right.
I think we need to think regionally and not just, you know, a mill along Belleville Avenue. We got to go big.
No, absolutely.
Thank you for the call, my friend. Thank you.
Where our business park is at 95, 98% capacity. We don't have huge tracts of land. We do have a lot of mills that are underutilized, most of which are held by, you know, private property owners.
Right.
So obviously we can work with them to try to help sell their property and repurpose their property and things like that. But I think that's why, you know, the mayor's proposal of the advanced manufacturing campus is a big deal to try to build that base. You know, 100 acres in the city of New Bedford, as I said before, does not come available quite often.
Right.
So it's imperative to me that we get that really going this year, and I think that you're going to see some things, you know, developing there. There's going to be some stuff that's going to be coming out of the property committee in the next year to try to get those property up and running and developed.
Yeah, and that property committee has really been at a standstill now for 2 years. But Mack Auto Sales, 188 Rivet Street in the great city of New Bedford, repairs all makes and models of automobiles, just like the one you're driving right now. So if you need to winterize your car, and I'm sure you do, call Mack Auto Sales and Repair and make an appointment today, 508-565-6221. They're open weekdays, 9 to 5. You have a foreign car, that's perfect. Mack Auto Sales specializes in servicing foreign-made automobiles. Make sure you mention WBSM. They'll give you a break on the bill. Ask about their aftermarket accessories and their quality used cars for sale. Take a break. We'll be right back.
This portion of programming on WBSM brought to you by South Coast Health, Advanced Medicine, more.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Malakilikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. We have Sean Oliver here. Sean, you were recently written up in the Boston Herald as a member of the Republican Party. You converted from being a unenrolled and independent, the only thing in the middle of the road, of course, yellow lines and dead skunks, you know that. But you've become a Republican. And yeah. Pretty active one, actually.
Yeah, so, you know, the local death sentence, if you will, right? Everybody thinks it's a death sentence. It's not a death sentence. And when you're subscribed to a party, it doesn't mean that you're behind every single initiative or in every single thing that they do. But multiple times now, I've been written up in a few of the few different publications as being conservative and conservative and conservative. So, you know, yes, I do have conservative views. Being more involved in politics now, to me, I feel like if you're unenrolled, you're unrepresented.
Right.
And so, yes, back in August, I changed my party affiliation from unenrolled to Republican, and have been pretty active in the local Republican city committee. I've been going to different various Republican town committees throughout Bristol County.
Right.
I've gone to Rochester, Acushnet, Attleboro, Dartmouth, and just trying to get some common sense candidates elected, or at least considering running.
Right.
You know, because let's bring up examples like your caller Barry, your friend Barry, brings up about the sewage treatment plant.
You know,
city council isn't going to be able to do a whole heck of a lot. You know, we're going to need state and federal leaders that are going to work with whatever the current administration is on the federal level to get funding down here. To, you know, and when you have our current leaders are just combative to the point where they, like, it doesn't, like, you know, if you close the door too hard and, you know, it's door abuse or something ridiculous like that.
Right.
And they're right on Facebook hemming and hawing about it. Instead of that, you should be hemming and hawing about getting local money to cities and towns that need it for their aging infrastructure and to take care of these CSOs. New Bedford isn't unique in this. This is an ongoing issue throughout the Commonwealth. Those are the things that you should be championing instead of just being combative with the federal administration. So, I'm getting involved locally. I've been, it's no secret that I've been very vocal and speaking with the various gubernatorial candidates.
Yeah, you're trying to put a debate on.
Yeah, so that's another thing, too. I've reached out to Ted Nisi over at WPRI. We've had some email communications. Obviously, he's been pretty busy with the whole Brown situation.
Yes.
He has voiced interest in helping me facilitate, perhaps. So that's good. I've spoken to all three of the Republican gubernatorial candidates in one way or another. I've gotten dates from two of the three. The Minogue campaign is a little tougher to get a hold of, but they did say that they are interested in attending.
Okay.
So I'm going to continue to press them as well.
This will be a New Bedford center debate, right?
Yeah, so this is the thing is I think, you know, New Bedford, it's being, you know, the economic hub that it is, especially with the fishing industry. Mm-hmm. As I've spent a lot of time down at the fishing docks, you know, they constantly hear that they feel overregulated, underheard,
mm-hmm.
And the only way that they're going to be heard or have their chance to be heard is to have somebody in that office that's going to listen. And
right.
All three candidates have come down
yes.
for more than just a political stunt and photo op. And
mm-hmm.
They've been two of the three candidates have been down multiple times.
Yes,
and that's Mike Keneally and Brian Shortsleeve. Brian Shortsleeve was just here last week.
Right,
Keneally the week before. So they've been down here a lot, and paying attention to what's going on in the South Coast. What I honestly feel that you know, the new governor is going to come through New Bedford and mm-hmm. and through Bristol County, and we should be active participants in that. And I think holding a debate where we take off the kid gloves. Mm-hmm. I hate forums.
Yeah,
it's everybody's got the same answer, right. No rebuttals. Like, I want a gubernatorial debate with a professional moderator, which I think Ted Nisi could be, and I want some sort of local aspect, a panel of local folks,
yep.
maybe somebody from the local media, WBSM could get involved, one South Coast Chamber, that'll have, you know, more local question portion of it.
So, yes.
Been in contact with them. I told them that we're going to be, I'm going to be setting a hard date if I don't hear from them by the beginning of the year. So.
Right, right. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Mo is Sean Oliver, Ward 3 City Council. Graham, I'm Chris McCarthy. It's basically Christmas Eve, a little bit, right? We got Sean Oliver here in the studio with us.
It's getting close.
Getting close, right?
Did you get shopping done, Chris?
Yesterday was the final day out there shopping.
Did you find that one gift you needed, the must-have gift?
I did.
Oh, good.
I did. I did. And so that's all done for
me. Yeah, I had to. My son actually called into the radio station when you guys had Santa Claus on.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, Santa and Tim did a great job, as they usually do.
Yep.
And my son called in, and he said he wanted a hat. One of the things is he wanted a hat. So Santa had asked him what type of hat he wanted. And he goes, Santa said, do you want a ball cap or a top hat? And my son, of course, goes, oh, I want a top hat.
Of course.
So we've been on the run for a top hat in the last couple of days. Thank God for Amazon like that. You know, we were able to get one. So he'll have a top hat for
is
one
it a
reason or another.
Stove top hat?
Yeah.
Like Abraham Lincoln
top hat.
Really?
So, yeah. I'll be posting a picture on Facebook for everybody to see.
Oh, that's
but
great.
But he wanted a top hat, and it's going to probably be the best gift he unwraps. So I can't wait.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that is great. Sean, listen, I appreciate you coming in. The hour's up.
Goes by so quick.
Merry Christmas, my friend.
Merry Christmas to you, all the listeners, and everybody in the city of New Bedford. Thanks a lot.